We're going to start in Psalm 49, okay? Psalm 49, please. Know, as I was praying yesterday and today specifically, I just was overwhelmed with thanksgiving for the privilege of having the family of God that we have, for you guys, for how wonderful you are. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the apple of God's eye. And what a blessing and a privilege that we get to serve together. We get to live together as believers. We get to move God's word together. And, I started getting on myself. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And ask God for forgiveness for the 7 billionth time. But, God told us in manifestations who we are. He told us that He sees us as righteous. Just amazing. When my daughter was in college, I think it's when she graduated, we bought her a car. And I think Martine has that car now. But anyway, we bought her a car. It wasn't a new car. It was a car that was used. It had some dings in it and probably some other things. And when I bought that car, Liz, I think you and I went, right? Erin wasn't with us, right? I think it was just the two of us that went. Anyway, we went to the car and you look it all over. They open the hood, you look under there. We don't have a clue what we're looking at, but we always look at it anyway. Kick the tires. I don't know what else to do with a car, but I had planned on how much I was going to spend on that car, and I was only going to buy a car that I thought had the value that I was going to spend on it, right? So I'm looking at this car and everything, and I had decided, okay, this is the car, and it was a used car. But when Erin got it, she thought red drapes. Remember that from PFAO? All the things that she, and it was red too, all the things that she prayed for were in that car. And I saw the car and I looked at the ding on the side and I looked at, the bumper had a little smudge on it and stuff like that. She just looked at it and thought about how she's going to listen to her new Mumford and Sons CD or Lumineers or some other groups that my daughter's into. Some of the weird ones, probably, that I don't know about. But you know what? That car to her was the answer to her prayers. And she didn't see all of the problems with it. We bought my son a car. No, we didn't. I gave him my Lexus when we moved here. I love that car. In the graveyard now. Unfortunately, I paid what I thought was a value for those cars. When I bought my Lexus, I went into this dealership. I brought my brother was visiting from England, and he knows a lot about cars. I know nothing, but I knew what I wanted, and I knew how much money I had to spend. And I told him, and he was supposed to be the bad cop, and I was going to be the good cop. Oh, it's great to go. Oh yeah, but look at this. Well, we get to the dealership. We look at these cars. You sit down with the dude. Of course, I told him, this is how much I'm going to spend, and I mean it. And he goes off and he shows us these cars that are $5,000 to $8,000 more than what I said, of course. So anyway, we looked at this one car and I loved it. Every single thing about it, I loved it, except for the price. So we go and then you sit down and then the antics begin. Synchronized swimming, I call it. They do this whole thing and he puts the thing in front of you. Do they still do this at dealerships? Yeah. They put the thing in front of you and he says, okay, here's how much it is. And I say, I told you how much I was going to spend. But he goes, oh, but look at this and this. And then my brother throws me under the bus, who's supposed to be the bad cop. He goes, oh, that's a pretty good value. But Danny, what the hell? So I had to be the bad cop. And so I walked out. So we walk out. And the guy runs after us, and brings us back. And here we go again. We sit down. He goes, okay, let me talk to my manager. You know how that goes? He went back. He comes back again. same situation. I walk out, he comes back and gets me, and then he gives me the car for what I said I wanted to spend on it. We could have saved a lot of time if he hadn't done. How did I get on this? Oh, Aaron's car. Yeah, it had dings in it. We better go to the Bible, Psalm 49. Now, there's a point to all this, okay? Sort of. At least part of it. Psalm 49. It says in verse 6, Psalm 49 and verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. I just love the Darby version of this. It says, for the redemption of their soul is costly and must be given up forever. In other words, it's forever unachievable. You can't pay enough for the ransom, even for your own soul, let alone for your brother. We, in our physical bodies, as much and as beautifully and wonderfully made as we are, we don't have it enough to pay for our own souls, what God has done for us, and of course the Holy Spirit that we have. He says, you can't even redeem your brother, no matter how rich you are. Go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 6. So that was our condition. We could do nothing to redeem ourselves. It is not even possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 19, please. 6:19. What? I love verses that start with that. What? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own? Wow. Now we know the temple is put most often in the New Testament for the whole body of believers, right? But he says, don't you know that you're not your own? That you are what you have is because of God? Look at verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And the rest of that verse isn't in critical Greek text. He says, we're bought with a price. We were bought with a price. There was a price. Now, it could have been the price that God looked us up and down and said, $4 for that one. You know? But that wasn't it. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When I bought that car for my daughter, I considered all the stuff that that car had, the age of the car, what it had been through. Who knows if that lady that sold the car backed it into her driveway, into the garage or into a door, or if she hit the garbage cans or something. We don't know. But I paid what I thought was a value for that car. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God bought us. We had dings. We had some road wear. We were kind of a mess. And God bought us. He paid for us. God did. And he paid for us with the price of his only begotten son. Now I determined how much I was going to spend for my daughter's car. I wasn't willing to put up my son for it. Sometimes I wish I had, but you know, but God never thinks that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 5. God didn't consider the poor condition that we were in. We were damaged goods, but he didn't consider that when he decided what he was going to pay for us. It is freezing in here, isn't it? Cold air blowing on me. We were used. We had dings. We probably had the bumper falling off, you know, But God paid a price. God paid a price. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But you know what God did? He didn't consider the dings that we had. He didn't consider that we were damaged goods. Because what he did was he said, I'm just going to create something within them, and that thing will be perfect. Now go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, or new things have come. Old things are passed away. New things have come. Years ago, there was this TV series that I really loved. It was called Pimp My Ride. Did you ever see it? It hasn't been on for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years now or something. But it was a cool, they would get these old jalopies and really bad, bad looking cars. They bring them into the garage and these guys would fix them all up and put all new stuff in there, like a champagne cooler. Great idea in a car, you know. But anyway, all these things that they would put in there, and it was really cool. And they would take this ugly, broken down thing and they'd make it beautiful. And they put all this new stuff in there. God did that with us, and better. God did that with us. He created within us something that's perfect. Did I tell you continue on? Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. And all things, all these new things, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled us to himself. He created something new in us. We were hoopties. We were jalopies. And God said, I don't care about any of that. That didn't matter to him. He paid the highest price, an inestimable price, for you and for me. And what did he do? He created in us something perfect. Something perfect. So when you start feeling down about yourself, think about what God did. He's not looking at your bumper. That might mean something else. I don't know. But he's not looking at that, okay? God's not looking at that. When God looks at you, Jim, God sees the God in Christ in you. That's what he looks at. Perfect. Perfect in his sight. And it says in this verse, he reconciled us to himself. Then it says, let's see what else it says in these verses. To wit, verse 19. That means namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Got that? He's not imputing their trespasses. So William might have made a mistake once in his life. Don't talk to Erica. William might have made a mistake, but God's not imputing his trespasses unto him. God's not imputing yours either, Laura. God's looking at that perfect creation that he put in every single one of us. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's eternal. Can't get messed up. You're not going to get a ding in it. That's what God sees, and that's what God did. So for us to bring up our past and how terrible we are and look at our flesh and go, what the? You can fill in the rest of the part. We should look also at the creation that God put in us. That's what gives us worth. That's what gives us inestimable price. You, Lisa, are inestimable to God. Nobody could pay enough for you. Juanita, nobody could pay enough for you. You have value, intrinsic value, because God put within you, Holy Spirit. God put within each of us his perfect Holy Spirit. So the next time you get down on yourself, yeah, don't let the pity party go too long, okay? But think about what God did and the price that he paid. Oh, the price he paid for us. He made us his chosen gems. That's what he did. Then it says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He reconciled us. Now, in our minds, we need to line up our thinking to what God did perfectly within us. Then we are 100% in harmony with God and everything. That's what we do, and that's what we call the renewed mind, isn't it? And guys, we got to remind each other of that. Sometimes we have rough days. Sometimes we have rough weeks. We got to help each other with that. Romans chapter 8, please. Oh, wait, there's an important verse I didn't read. 21. He hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin. He made him to be sin for us, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made what?
The righteousness of God in him.
Look, you know, if God didn't say this, it'd be insane to think that we could be as righteous as God, right? The righteousness of God? But he said it. It's insane for us not to believe it if he said it. Every word in God's word is true. Every word in God's word is perfect. We have within us Holy Spirit of inestimable price, and we have the righteousness of God. Good Lord. We are very, very valuable in this world. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Romans 8, 1. Most of you know this one. There is therefore now, because of all of this great stuff that God did, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of that also isn't in any of the texts. No condemnation. Well, then why do I do it? Well, I do live in the world and there's a devil, right? Well, he's beaten, remember? He's beaten. He just keeps trying to rear his head. We just got to keep kicking him down and keep accepting what God says, that we are righteous in him. And that's what we believe about each other. Look, I know in the flesh, not one of us is perfect, right? But we can believe what God's word says about us and do our very best to line up our thoughts to what God has done. And then as we do that, we improve in everything that we do. And we are a great blessing to this world. See, during this pandemonium, as I call it, some of us have had a chance living in our houses with our spouses, our kids, our dog. You might have the tendency to look at yourself more closely because, you know, you're like the only ones there. And you might get down on yourself. That happened to anybody? You don't have to answer. But we really ought to think what God says about us. We are valuable to God of inestimable price. So I ought to kind of like that part about me. And I ought to like that part about you. That's the reason that you and I can love anybody. Because God put within us his Holy Spirit, and we can bless anybody anywhere that we go. When you walk through a door, God in Christ walks through that door. You're the most important person in that room and any other believer that's in that room, because we have that perfect gift of God within us. We got to start thinking about that. We have tremendous worth, tremendous value in this world. God thought so. We ought to think that about ourselves and each other. Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. I didn't work all these words when I was thinking so terrible about myself the other day. But then I went to God's word and I said, good gravy. Just so amazing what God has done, what he has given to us. Of course, that's why I'm thankful every day. Every day I wake up, I am so very, very thankful for the privilege that God has given me to do what I do. To be able to see you guys, I see somebody every day. And to be together like this, what could be better? What could be greater? I couldn't be more blessed. Except God, if you send Jesus now, that would be good. 419, please, 419. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Wait a minute. I thought Christ, what? Isn't he writing to believers? He is, but what's he talking about? Up here, guys. Right. Christ is in every one of us, but he says, I'm like a mother giving birth again to you people who are already born again. He says, in travail, until you get it, until you put that Christ in your mind, that Christ be formed in you. And then we line up our lives, we line up our thinking with the thing that God has given to us, his Holy Spirit, with his word that tells us who we are and what we can do and tells us about each other. Second Corinthians chapter 4. You're the most important person in the world because you have God in Christ in you. And when you and I are out of this world, when Christ comes back, it's going to be a tough place to be. Because we're the ones that are holding back all the bad stuff. Think that about yourself. Think that when we're praying these prayers. We go till next Saturday, right? This coming Saturday, right? Yeah. Our 24 hours of prayer. What we're doing in those 24 hours of prayer, nobody by campaigning, God forbid, or whatever they do out there, they can't do as much as we're doing by praying. By praying. I told you what? Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4, please. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so then he says, that the excellency of the power may be of whom?
God.
God, and not of us. So, you know, I might look at this earthen vessel and I go, oh, another thing's falling off. But I got the treasure of God in Christ in me, and that's what you have too. And it's perfect. Let's admire that. You know, every time my daughter would go by and she'd see that, she named it Randy, that car. I don't know why. But anyway, every time she'd go and she'd look at that red car, it would just bless her. Because she just loved that thing. Think about that when you go through and look at the mirror rather than, you know, what else looks bad on your face. God in Christ in you. That's what God says. Ephesians, please, chapter 1. My favorite chapter of the Bible. It's not hard to love this chapter. It has nothing about what we do or didn't do. It has everything to do with what God had done in Christ. In you, in Christ, in him, in the Lord. Forget what else. It's used over 20 times in Ephesians. Because the emphasis in Ephesians is not at all on anything we do or haven't done. It's on what God has done in Christ that we got freely. So I love this. This is, you know, how can you not like this? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven. That makes you important. That makes you special in the world. That makes you somebody that needs to be heeded. Somebody who has tremendous worth. We are of great value to God. Don't look at your flesh. Look at what God did in Christ in you and then think about what you can do in this world. Think about how you can conquer the things that face you today. God in Christ in us. According as he hath chosen us, verse 4, in him, before the foundation of the world, bless you, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, good Lord. He looks at us as prized possessions, as chosen gems. If you go to 1 Timothy, please. God has an investment in us. The investment of inestimable price, his son. And he didn't even spare his only begotten Son, but he delivered him up so that we could have what we have. We should be thankful every day, every moment of what God has done for us, but not thankful and feeling bad, thankful and feeling blessed because we have all spiritual blessings. 1 Timothy 6:16, talking about God, who only hath immortality. God always was and always will be, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. See, God is holy, unapproachable light, but God put in every one of us his Holy Spirit. In every single one of us, we have unlimited access to God, who's holy, 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 who is unapproachable, who would be unthinkable unless he told us that we could possibly even approach him on our knees, backwards, naked. But he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Because of what he did, he put in us that perfect seed that makes every one of us perfect. Do you get it? Grant, inestimable price that you are to God. So you should be that way to me. Melissa, to me, you are the best in the world because God put within you his Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Unapproachable light. No one of us could make ourselves good enough for God anytime that we think according to his word. Doesn't that bless his heart? Anytime that we speak in tongues, it just melts his heart. We have the privilege because of the Spirit that he put within us to bless, to praise our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He died, but now he's crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What a figure, taste death. You know, taste sounds like, you know, like a little strawberry or something, you know. That's good. He tasted death for every man. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both, verse 11, he that sanctifieth made holy, and they who are sanctified are made holy, his holy sanctified ones, the Bible calls us, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them what?
Brethren.
He didn't just fix us up, you know, polish us up a little, some Bondo over here, you know, pump up the tires. He didn't do that to us. He put within us his perfect seed. It's perfect. It never needs gas. It's perfect. And God did that in every one of us. That's the worth that we are to this world. Inestimable price. Go down to verse 14, please. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil. Then it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, you know, like us. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And then in verse 18, for in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to help. It's to run to the aid of a person who's in need or in danger. It's to bring aid. He's able to help us. So I go through some things in my life. I have a rough day, a rough week, a rough year, a rough pandemonium, whatever. He is able to take that and he's able to help, to aid. He's able to provide support for us because he went through it all. And he went through it all for us. And of course, he did it perfectly. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter, it'll be worth it. Chapter 3, verse 18. To run to the aid of those in danger. That's what Jesus Christ can do. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations we think are kind of insurmountable. Sometimes we think we have character flaws that we just can't fix. But he says he runs to the aid of those who are in danger. He's able to do that because he went through it all and he did it perfectly. Jesus Christ was God's plan for spanning the gap between God, who lives in unapproachable light, and man. Jesus Christ was that plan. Ephesians, wait, 1 Peter. Keep forgetting this verse, and it's a good one. Let's get to it quick. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was just, we were the other one, right? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Okay, now go please to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. He stood in the gap for the Jews and the Gentiles, spanning that space between people, mankind, and holy, holy, holy God, unapproachable light. Jesus Christ is the bridge. Because of him, we have complete access to our Heavenly Father. Because of him, we can sit in the throne room of God. We're royal. We're his royal family. Let's think about that next time we think about ourselves and each other. Okay, two. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, just reminding us where we were, but where we are no longer. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, it says, had our conversation, our way of living, our life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we were. And then these tremendous words, but God. And when we get tempted to think about these things in verses 1 through 3, let's not forget verse 4. 1 through 3 says all this bad stuff where we were. Verse 4 says, but God. In any situation, when you introduce God, it can change everything. It can change everything. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's the kind of thing we really ought to think about ourselves. And you know what happens if we do that? If we do that and we're in Kroger, God can tell us something and we can do something great. Miracles, healings. You know? Everywhere Jesus went, people got healed. Almost everywhere that he went, people just got healed. Why? Because of who he was. Well, who in the world are you? We're out of this world. God in Christ in you, right? Me too. That's what we ought to think about ourselves. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. We are God's royal household. Queen Becky, God's royal household. Princess Leia. All those kids were all Star Wars, most of them, huh? And the devilish thing. What is that? Halloween. The Halloween thing. A lot of them Star Wars, right? Interesting. Let's come back again. Colossians 1. 21. This is better than Star Wars. Luke 21. And you, 21, that were sometime or at one time alienated. You know what it is to be alienated? You're separated. You're apart, right? Talk about aliens. You know, they're different. They're wrong. They're out there. At one time. And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Unblameable means without stain or blemish. I would see the little dings in that car that we bought, Aaron, Randy. Ever never saw it. But that car wasn't like us. That car didn't have something created within. We do. Perfect. Perfect. No dings. Unreprovable means unimpeachable. Unimpeachable means an accusation can't even be brought against you, even if you're guilty. An accusation cannot be brought against you. That's what God made us. Does that mean we don't sin? No. Does it mean we don't make mistakes in the flesh? Yes, we do make mistakes in the flesh. But what he put in us is perfect. And that's how we should think about ourselves. We ask for forgiveness when we do a dumb thing. And we just walk in fellowship with him. In harmony with God, who is unapproachable light. He doesn't tell us we're okay. He doesn't tell us that he tolerates us. God tells us that we're unblameable, unimpeachable. That's what he tells us. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 again, please. That's where we're going to close. See, we just need to sometimes get our focus off of ourselves and onto what God did in us and for us in Christ. That elevates our thinking to the level that we actually are. We are a royal household of God. We are better because we have Holy Spirit in us than somebody who doesn't. Doesn't make us conceited. It inspires us to help them to get to be like that. But don't put yourself down. Don't put other people down either. But let's not forget who we are. Let's not forget what God has given us. We're not going to do a whole lot in the world if we keep thinking we're so terrible, right? But if we think that we are God's royal household, well, you walk into Kroger and watch out! Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what?
Accepted
in the beloved. Lovely and acceptable. That's what he made us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's what he did, and that's who you are. I just think that's what we ought to think about ourselves. And when we're praying, you know, I pray, I look, this is how I do it. Everybody does it different. When I pray, I start usually with the list of the people who are praying, and I pray for them, and then I go to the list of the things that we're praying for. Each time we pray for somebody, let's say it's Jeff. Each time we, the two Jeffs are sitting together. Let's say it's Jeff's, right? each time that we pray, let's just picture that God and Christ in them, right? That works perfectly within them. Let's think that way when we pray for each other. And let's think that way about ourselves, okay?